Good morning, and we welcome back to the Daily Pod for his monthly visit, the mayor of the city of Greensburg, Joshua Marsh. Good morning to you, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, Tom, and good morning, everyone in WRPI country.
And, of course, last night, the Greensburg Board of Works and City Council meeting, and, start with the Board of Works. Assistant Fire Chief Brian Winning went before the board, and this is in regard to the 150th anniversary book contract.
He came forward to talk about a project he's been working on, a little unknown to us when we started our fire station project, is that 2024 was our 150th anniversary of the Greensburg fire. And this kind of gigantic birthday present, I guess you could call it, launched this idea of a like coffee table book that's history focused, but then also includes the new station. So he came to the Board of Works, wants to engage Tracy Winters of Winters Publishing here in Greensburg to put together this kind of commemorative book that will start back when we began and then end with our new station. So the idea is we get all of the new station open, photos of the event, people there, include that in the book, and then publish it in the fall. So we're excited to do that. The Board of Works did agree to the funding for that project.
All right, and then moving down, Zach Rearig, the Director of Public Projects, had an information item regarding the Franklin Street Award.
That is true. He came forward and said that the Globe asphalt contract that was tentatively approved of by the Board of Works earlier this month in a special meeting had been signed and completed. So that project will get started. We do have our pre-construction meeting with them on Monday. That's a very internal focus meeting, utilities, operations, etc. And then Zach is going to plan to schedule a meeting with the business owners that are directly impacted on the east side with Globe to sort of talk about what it is and questions that they may have, the timeline, etc. That's something we committed to way back last year when we said, hey, when we have the contractor, we have a schedule, we will be sure we get together. So we're going to be sure we honor that.
And this is something that's starting in April, is that correct?
That's the goal. Obviously, with the eclipse coming April 8th, we want to be maybe a little bit concerned about what exactly start date that is, as we welcome thousands of visitors to Decatur County for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we want to be, that's something we're going to talk with them on Monday about what that actual start date looks like and when and where. And then, of course, on the other end of that, we've got the Fall Festival, the third weekend in September. The contract does require substantial completion by September 1st, so that it can be usable to the Fall Festival and our community. I want expectations, in check all the time. It's not supposed to be completely finished. Landscaping will most definitely be missing because we can't plant trees and receive the insurance that they'll live by planting them in early September. That's a much later fall project. But the idea is that it will be mostly done and be open at least to foot traffic by the Fall Festival.
And then also, Zach, bringing up the Duke Energy LED street light replacement program.
This is something that I've been talking with Duke for about a year now. It is I call it a triple win, in that Duke Energy will come through and replace all of the high-pressure sodium streetlights. They're those kind of orange glow ones that most people are very familiar with LEDs. It creates a cleaner, whiter, crisper light that better illuminates items. It also reduces maintenance costs for Duke, which reduces the cost to us as we do pay for each of those. So this project removes and adds energy efficiency and reduces the city's expense for streetlights while providing a better quality product. So it's a great investment. It's actually going to lower our utility bill with Duke by about $2,000 a month, which is a great, great, great benefit for us. One point to really stress on this is it is for Duke-owned, city-paid-for lights only. It is not for privately-owned lights or lights that maybe individual property owners pay Duke for directly. It may even be something that they're not familiar that they're paying for because it's just on their Duke bill, as maybe the previous homeowner had requested it be put up by the energy company. That is not in this project. These are exclusively for Duke-owned, city-paid-for lights. And Duke has been in the city of Greensburg over the last few months doing a full audit, full review, full inventory of those. They've identified about 430 of them. There's no upfront cost to us. It just comes out. We pay them so much per month for fixture, but that still reduces our Duke bill by about $2,000 a month, which is a great benefit.
And then moving down to your portion of the meeting from the Board of Works on last night, the Washington Township fire contract, and of course, the this is still kind of an issue that's still unresolved, I understand.
Yeah, and it's one of those items where there's just a couple more questions that the board members have that we're going to go back to the township on. We go through this about every year, so it's really nothing new. We obviously have a great relationship with the township. One of the questions this year surrounding tornado sirens. Back in 2023, we were helping sort of clean up some insurance documents and how do we cover things, and there was maybe some differing opinions as to what that meant as it relates to sirens, and we're just going to work through that with the township. We're going to continue to be partners and work forwards in the future. It's not a big holdup, but it was just tabled so that the board could get some of their questions answered.
All right, and then with that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick time out, and then we'll shift to the city council portion of last night's meetings as we continue our visit with Greensburg Mayor Joshua Marsh right after this.
Don't adjust your radio. The sound that you hear is your stomach. You're having trouble focusing. You can't recall your last meal. You're trapped in the hunger zone. The solution, Batesville To Go. Let To Go deliver a hot, fresh meal to your home or office whenever hunger strikes. To Go delivers the best food from local restaurants. Visit us online at togodelivers.com or call us at 812-727-8800. Batesville To Go. Big city convenience, small town taste.
And welcome back as we continue our conversation with Greensburg Mayor Joshua Marsh in the city council portion of last evening. And Matt Mason with the Veritas Group was on hand for the update to not only council, but also the Board of Works regarding the monthly update on the municipal complex project.
He was, and he shared that there has been great progress made. If you've been by there recently, you can really start to see some of the extra items on the site take place, but a lot of work's being done on the inside. Drywall's up, maybe paint will even begin in the next month or so. And the target date was finally kind of released in that we're looking at that June 1st is the goal to be in and using the campus. And then we'll be on our way in our new facilities, which will be great to see that project, start to serve its purpose. A couple things that have come up recently in the last few weeks is the generators have been delayed till about the middle of or early July. And then we have some garage doors for the fire department that are being held up a little bit. They're expected to be here till not until the mid to late May. So those are the first two things that have really started to impact potential schedule. That just shows that our team has been doing an absolutely amazing job of keeping suppliers on track and on pace, doing a good job of getting orders submitted and in. And by no means, the generator does not prevent us from occupying the space. The doors may be a little bit, but they're before the end of May, which is great. So we'll just get those installed and we'll be ready to go. That's our goal at the time or at this current moment. Quite a exciting spring to come for all of us, that's for sure.
And then and relative to Matt Mason's visit for council and the Board of Works, but this was in the council portion of the meeting. Rather lengthy discussion regarding the bond fund.
This is a discussion that is happening because of good things, in that when we acquired our bond, we did this through a build operate transfer. And so we acquired the money from the bank through our loan, like a mortgage would be. And then we pay our contractor monthly so that on expenses incurred. So they send us a bill each month. We pay them. So we've been holding on to all of the money from the bond, and then we've been paying our contractor as we go. And we've been in a very interest-friendly environment for having money in our accounts, and by far and above what our interest rate on the money is, but that's really not the point of that. All of that to be said is that over the last 12 to 14 months, we've garnered over $750,000 worth of interest. And so the chief and the street commissioner and I went looking at some of the projects that were not included in the original guaranteed maximum price due to concerns of the budget. And if you recall, in late 2022, when we started this project, we were in the midst of hyperinflation. There was a lot of unknowns about schedules. There was a lot of unknowns about work on the site that maybe would have to happen based on site conditions. So we as we approach the end of the project, we've, you know, pretty much realized with the interest and a few dollars that were left over, we have about $900,000 of the project funds that have to be used on the project. We are not allowed to use them on anything else. We can't, we cannot do anything outside of the campus. So the discussion with the council was about paving some more of the lot at the street department that was supposed to be gravel. This is obviously a maintenance cleanliness item, and they agreed to do that. One of the other items is some preemption work out on Broadway that includes activated flashers for the entrance of emergency vehicles onto Broadway. Think of them as like those pedestrian crossing signs that flash when you push the button. That would be the same sort of for the fire truck. The fire truck would push a button, those lights would activate. And then we've also been working with NDOT and for some traffic preemption control for the stoplight that is at North Broadway and State Road 3, or as we call it, the bypass. That work we thought would maybe be a little more cumbersome with NDOT, but because of our great relationship and very mutually beneficial working relationship, they've agreed to allow us to install some preemption on that so that when the fire truck pushes the button for those, then that will transfer the light green for northbound Broadway to clear the traffic out onto the bypass, providing a much safer, efficient use of the street. We've always had concern about that intersection from the very beginning. I don't want anybody to get the impression that we built the fire station and then thought, oh, this seems like it might be an issue. We always knew it was an issue. It was on our long-term horizon. And with these funds from the interest garnered over the last 14 months, we're going to be able to do that project. So the city council did approve that one as well. Two other items that were tabled include some extra work being done on what is now considered West Baruchel. That's the road that is being built in front of the fire station and the street department, including the addition of a cul-de-sac that would allow us to turn that into a public road and provide some more access to the lots that are on the south side of West Baruchel. That's the 10-acre field that we will continue to own going forward, but don't really have a plan for necessarily. The second project that was tabled was some solar options for the campus. This was built into the design. The building, the street department building, was designed to have solar placed on its roof that supports the load of that weight, wind, and snow load. And then also it was built so that it can be clipped to the roof instead of holes penetrating the roof structure itself. It was just one of those things that was easy to do during construction. If we choose to do it now or in the future, it doesn't matter. And then it was also built so that it is connected to the fire station in that solar generated off of the street department can be used by the fire station, and we don't have to put panels on the fire station, which is not nearly as conducive to that environment as the street department is. So the campus is ready for it should the council opt to do that. I am going to bring the solar company in next week or next month at our meeting to talk with them about the benefits of that. It has a pretty tremendous return on investment. For a few hundred thousand, we can seek, over 25 years, over $800,000 worth of energy savings. We also do receive and would qualify for about $100,000 worth of federal incentive rebate. So we get about a third of our outlay back straight out of the gate, which is a benefit at this point too. It does not include, I know one thing that a lot of people have concerns about is batteries. It does not include any batteries in the system as they are very expensive and have a short shelf life. The life of the panels are about 20 to 25 years, and the batteries run about 5 or 6. We did not include any batteries in our system. This system is built for on-demand usage, so it supplements the grid. At no point in time would there probably ever be where both buildings or one building in its entirety running on solar. It's not built for that. It's really just built as to reduce some demand from the grid, which obviously we pay for every kilowatt we buy. So anything we can do to reduce that helps that. So that's a long answer to your question, but it's got multiple facets as it relates to that. And it's funds that are already in the project, dedicated for the project, have to be used on the project.
All right. And then speaking of money, as well as we continue our conversation with Greensburg Mayor Joshua Marsh, Jerry Hickman with Reedy Financial went before council discussing the reestablishment of the Cumulative Capital Development Fund.
Yeah, this is an item that significantly changed in the state legislature last year. We've been losing share of this each year since 2014 when it was last reestablished. And they've come and talked to us a couple times about it. The council hasn't opted for it. But with the legislative change that was in 22 that took effect in 23, now that rate doesn't decrease upon reset. So if they reset it to the 5 cents, it's currently at 4.3 cents. And so we're talking about, you know, six tenths of one penny per hundred. So it's really very small. But it does have an impact on funds that are used in capital. So if you like Pirate Park and other capital projects throughout the history of the city have benefited from this fund. But it also plays into the formula surrounding the way that income tax is not an income tax. It's not tied to income tax by any means. But it does it does play into the formula of how that is divided up. And so if another department, if another taxing entity establishes or raises their cumulative cap, it has a negative impact on the city of Greensburg and our finances. And last year, the Decatur County Council and Commissioners did reset theirs. They voted to set theirs to the maximum. And so that has a negative impact on us as well. So it's a little twofold. We've lost revenue share, or we've lost revenue from the fund, which does benefit our community greatly. But then we are also about to lose more additional revenue to Decatur County because of the way that the formula is structured. So it has kind of a double impact. And Jerry wanted to be sure that the council was well aware of that. They did vote to start the process of reestablishment. And that will take a couple months. It's a long process. But it is not a new tax. It has been around for a very long time. And it is just a reestablishment of it at 5 cents instead of the 4.3 that it currently is. So it's not a terribly large difference, but it does have an impact.
All right. And then moving down, the Director of Public Projects, Zach Wierig, brought before council an ordinance for a street vacation, which was the subject of a public hearing at the start of the meeting.
This is for South Gibson Street. Most people, including myself, didn't even know where South Gibson Street was. It is a public right-of-way that is a street that is one block long, but it looks like a parking lot of a local business on Main Street. So they've asked for that to be vacated because they want to help. They have some folks that are cutting through there and abusing it. It does not actually provide any benefit to the city, and the property owners own on both sides. It is sort of their parking lot, and so the council did approve that.
And then moving down to your portion of the meeting, Mr. Mayor, had a couple of council appointments, one to the Redevelopment Commission and one to the Plan Commission.
The Redevelopment Commission has been a member short since the beginning of the year when the council's appointment decided not to seek reappointment. The council did appoint Mark Klosterkamper to that board. Obviously, he's our street commissioner as well. There was some research done on city employees serving in that role. Our legal counsel advised us that that is doable because it's a non-paid board and it does not generate any conflict of interest. So he will be appointed or has been appointed to that. And then Rodney King was appointed to the Plan Commission. We have to have two city council members on that board. So that was their second appointment. Kevin Fleetwood has served on the Plan Commission for many, many years, and Rodney is going to fill the second seat.
And then finally, Mr. Mayor, of course, the total solar eclipse preparations continue on.
They do. April 8th is quickly approaching. Hopefully everyone is well aware and excited for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity right here in Greensburg and South Central Indiana, Southeastern Indiana. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got two great days of events planned. I'm sure we will be able to talk more about that as we get closer. Sunday, we are going to have bands that start around noon and go till 5. They will include a Carrie Underwood tribute band out of Cincinnati, Hi-Fi Honey, also out of Cincinnati, and Soul Pocket, which I believe is also out of Cincinnati. They're going to come over and spend the day with us, play great music. We've got Friends of Fred food trucks coming. They're going to bring food trucks, have it all set up out in front of the Greensburg High School We're going to be at Pirate Park. Main Street Greensburg is going to have our first DORA event of the year, which is incredibly exciting. And I know Batesville's just established or starting the process of establishing their DORA district. We're going to have our first one surrounding the Eclipse Beer Garden out at Pirate Park. It should be a lot of fun. I invite anyone and everyone within the listing area or anywhere in the world to come join us right here in Greensburg for a great solar eclipse, April 7th and 8th. And then on Monday, same thing, beer, food trucks, and music. We're going to have a band called The Rock Review. They are going to play an entire set of nothing but lunar-styled, lunar-themed songs. So think of like Dark Side of the Moon and other space-themed different options for them, and that's what they're going to do. So it should be a ton of fun. And of course, a local band, Nut and Fancy, always very popular, is going to spend a very large amount of their Monday with us playing the solar eclipse.
All right, very good. Well, as always, Greensburg Mayor Joshua Marsh, we appreciate your time this morning. Stay well, and if we'll talk to you between now and then, we'll speak again in about 3 weeks.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Tom. Everyone have a great and safe week.